Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Once, I'll go back
look
to
it. Look at, you know, hold on. I don't want to let what you just did slide.
What I do?
There's a lot of people. I know you brought up the quarterback. Uh-huh. And if you can't get a quarterback, there are people who are going to be fooled by this two wins and this celebrating in the locker room that AP is doing again. There's people who are going to be fooled by this.
That's what I was.
And I'm wondering if Mark is one of them.
So I'm not changing my opinion on who, like, what I feel about AP. My thing is,
If you don't have the quarterback.
Yeah, I want the quarterback and my new coach together, right? And if I'm not,
then you better go get your quarterback.
If I'm not drafting a quarterback this year, why am I going to pay, once now I'm thinking like Mark Davis, why am I going to pay this guy for nothing? He might as well come back and coach again.
You're damn near already paying him for nothing.
Well, see if I can get the first pick next year. Line things up. I don't know. I just... My thought with AP, with letting AP go, was I'm getting my guy in there to draft my quarterback, and then I'm going to let these two work together.
We had a caller make a good point. Doesn't want to go on air, but did the Raiders just tank another year for Arch Manning?
Yep. Arch Manning got 2 years, huh?
Has he got two more years or one more?
He's a freshman. His graduating class
was
last year.
He's a true freshman, yeah. Right?
Oh, never mind. I'm screwed here then again.
Yeah, he's got 2 years. Ewers might be available next year.
Isn't Ewers this year?
They talking about he getting NIL offers to transfer. They say he getting like $6 million NIL offer.
Sam Darnold, you're an Las Vegas Raider.
Oh, man. Worst case scenario for everyone involved.
What if you hire a new coach and sign Sam Darnold?
Well, I don't think the roster is there. The Minnesota Vikings roster is good.
Mm-hmm.
And and that's not a knock on Sam Darnold, but I don't like, don't do that. Don't do that.
This is a whole nother conversation. Two things going on. You talk about Arch Manning. Now more than ever, Arch Manning, I don't want to go to the Raiders. I'm going back to school. I'm making $12 million a year.
Hell yeah.
I'm going back to school.
Yeah.
Then the other thing, I saw this morning, NCAA is talking about adding another year of eligibility.
For what?
5 years.
Like, why?
I don't know.
There's like 8 years of eligibility for the COVID class. Like, what?
adding another year of eligibility effective with after this year or something like that. So that's what I think about with the Raiders. Like, if you do have a quarterback that you like, you might, and he's available, you might have to just take him, because the whole notion of waiting for another quarterback like that you want that's not eligible right now, Man, that might not even be.
If Arch Manning is a redshirt freshman, that means it's his second year, no?
Yes.
Then yeah, that's he's a redshirt freshman.
No, he is. Yeah, yeah. I'm looking at it now.
I thought he was a true freshman.
I thought he was too.
All right, Raiders are back. Tank is on.
He's not. He gonna go back to school. Arch Manning gonna be making $15 million a year at UT and could drive a Lamborghini if he has a good game. All right, that's gonna be something to watch when you talk about, these kids coming out. Like, if they don't like the situation or their advisors don't like the situation,
are the Raiders really that bad though, organizationally? Where it's like, I don't want my kid playing here.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I mean, hell, Deion was okay with him going to the Raiders. And he's a prime example of somebody.
Like, he's been the guy, too. He's like, yeah, we're going to Eli Manning this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, Arch can be drafted in April of 2026.
Okay.
All right, AOC, you're back.
Oh.
AOC got carted off with the air.
Hey, is he recovering from his bone bruise yet? We need him for week one next year.
He was playing.
Hey.
He played the other day.
He's just walking around in a cast now.
Hey, this is an interesting note brought up from Sean on Twitter. Trade for J.J. McCarthy. So we've all just assumed that Darnold is out and J.J. is back. Mm. But is there any universe where J.J. is traded and Sam Darnold is their quarterback moving forward? Because it's not. Sam Darnold's Rodgers. He's not 38, 40 years old.
Year it's been reported the other way around.
Yeah, the Vikings. So, like,
they changed their mind maybe, but.
Right. I hadn't seen one report that says they're wavering on J.J.
It is tough to move on from a guy who won you 14 games.
But it would be that
you had to move. The Eagles had to move on from a guy who won a Super Bowl, right? You went back. You made the decision to go back to Carson Wentz, uh-huh. Which is sitting in my head. Right, remember when Carson Wentz was the MVP?
Man,
Carson. Sam Darnold right now. Yeah. Remember when Carson Wentz was the MVP?
He's the MVP until he tore his knee.
That's right. Yeah.
I didn't like Carson Wentz for whatever.
No one likes Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz, I like you.
I didn't even.
If yes, Carson, boy, Carson Wentz, I need you this week.
Yeah, something about him when he was making his round. I was like, all right, man.
Well, I don't think Carson Wentz is the most likable guy from how they've talked about him.
If Carson Wentz had been good, he would have been Aaron Rodgers' personality. Like, he sucks. Right. Please let this be that idiot's last game. I never want to see that dude on a Sunday again.
So,
go away.
If J.J. McCarthy is available,
mm-hmm.
You know, you got some competition here with, now you're talking about trading, and you got the Jets might be involved, the Saints might be involved. I'm trying to look now. I mean, that's about it. That's where it ends, I guess. But
yeah, Derek Carr is probably a backup quarterback moving forward, huh?
Yeah. It seems
or a like desperate team as a starter.
He gets to be what Jimmy Garoppolo was for the Raiders that last year on some other team.
Ouch. Well, I thought that's what he was on the Saints.
Yeah.
Ouch again.
Well.
So I scrolled down a little bit to round two of the mock draft.
Okay.
And Quinn Ewers is with the Raiders.
Round two, huh?
Mm-hmm. I heard he might get an NIL, but if he's out and going to the league, he might be there in round two. Jalen Milroe might be available in round two.
Mm.
So maybe you can still get your quarterback if you're the Raiders.
You're going to end up with Carson Beck in the fifth round.
Come on, man. Don't do that. Don't be disrespectful.
It's funny because you take shots at players in the team at the same time, and that makes it funny.
Don't be disrespectful to that young man. Oh, man. Aldrin is right. Jalen Milroe does feel like a Raiders pick. He says Raiders drafting Jalen Milroe.
No.
That seems like the Davis is all over it. Mark and Al.
Oh, man.
And shout out to them because they give them a chance. Others wouldn't.
Well, that's what the Davises are known for.
Yeah, that was a trip. You know, you said before we were coming back, we were going to talk a little bit about college football playoff because semifinals are set. And we had a situation. I talked to you a little bit as we were walking out of the studio last night. Two schools, two teams that I thought they were just there because of their resume. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, these guys aren't going to win a national championship.
Mm-hmm.
One of them's going to the national championship game, and I'm talking about Penn State and Notre Dame. And that's pretty dope. That's pretty dope that those two schools are going to face off in the semifinal, and one of them, I think, is going to be Notre Dame. Coach Freeman he got them boys playing.
I agree.
They could win it all based on how I feel about him. Like, he has done a really good job. He's got them playing. They could win a national championship.
I'm with you. I don't hate that. Obviously, Notre Dame going to the national championship is a huge story. Mm-hmm. What's a bigger story? Notre Dame going to the national championship or an all Big Ten national championship?
Good question, but I'm going to go Notre Dame.
Yeah, I think Notre Dame.
Penn State would actually be like the worst option. Sorry to my man Ben. He's a Penn State fan, but nah. The game is the other one. That's the one that's going to be crazy, and you can't lose with having either one of those two in the
Ohio State and Texas. Yeah.
If you get what, it's a tougher question, I guess.
Someone said Oregon should have changed into Michigan jerseys at halftime and see what happens.
Would
have scared the hell out of their coach.
Out of Ryan Day.
What's going on over there?
Hold on. What's going on here? There's a run-in happening.
I didn't even see who it was.
They opened the door. Open the door. There's a run-in happening here at the studio. Kenny's getting all caught up.
Wait a minute.
Cheryl from Elk Grove is here, and she has brought cake.
We're live on the stream. Say what's up to
me. This is very live. Hi, Cheryl. Okay. That's a nice scarf. What brand is it? Okay, that's all right. It runs in the family. It's okay. That's all right. That's very nice.
We got that lemon cake here.
I heard you guys talking about the Raiders and the football and the quarterbacks and mm-hmm. where they're going.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, she was a big Coach Prime fan.
She's a big Luke Walton fan too. Now, just so I'm clear,
hey, talking to the mic. Too.
Is that our cake or is that mine?
That's the team.
Or meaning Jesse's. I just want to make sure.
It's a happy new year. Happy new year.
Okay,
D-Lo and KC.
Thank you.
Just want to say I was in the neighborhood just dropping off.
You were way out here?
I was way out here.
Oh, wow.
To be everywhere. You ain't never there.
I know. Okay. So
you probably have properties or something out here, right?
No, I'm not like you.
No.
Well, that's a good call.
Okay.
Good call. Want to say happy new year. That's all.
Okay,
thank you. You guys get back to work.
I'll okay, thank you.
Oh, yes, indeed. Funny. Shout out, moms. Moms pulled up with the lemon cake. This is going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy.
All right. See you later.
All right.
Oh, okay.
I was really hoping she'd give her thoughts on Luke Walton.
Oh, do you have any thoughts on Luke Walton?
No.
You have any thoughts on Mike Brown?
Well, good riddance.
Well, good riddance. Okay. That's fine.
It's tough.
Well, she speak her mind. That's fine.
That was a run-in I didn't see coming.
No, that's fine. What were we talking about?
We were talking
the college football. Ohio State, Texas.
I was going to ask you, what's a bigger game? Texas, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Notre Dame? My first
didn't
thought is
just
Texas,
see Ohio
Notre
State,
Dame.
Notre Dame like a couple years ago?
Did we? Maybe. I feel like Texas.
Yeah, you're right. Penn State's the worst option.
Yeah.
But they
would pack it out though.
No,
like, they would go
no,
crazy,
no, absolutely. Yeah. I just mean from a casual viewer perspective. Mm-hmm. But I do think a Big Ten national title game is a big deal. Like I do think an all Big Ten national title game is a big deal. Mm. I think Texas being in over Ohio State would be a little bit bigger because it's Texas. Mm-hmm. So I'll take Texas versus Notre Dame as the biggest draw, if you will.
Texas the biggest football school in the country, like fan base, pageantry. All
I think
stuff.
So.
I think so too.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I know we always talk about them a lot because we talk about the money they got.
Ohio State's not far behind. Like, no. Michigan's not far. Like, there's schools that are close, but like if you're If you're asking, like, the one, I think
it's football in Texas.
Yeah.
Like, football in Texas literally
they
is
have
a religion.
Billion-dollar high school stadiums.
Yeah. The Pop Warner stadiums are double-deckers.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so I that's what I'm rooting for. Texas and Notre Dame.
Wow, can't imagine that.
Somebody, my man.
I would like to see Notre Dame advance, though.
Yeah, yeah. And even Franklin over at Penn State. I mean, he's done a really good job. I didn't think they...
He's been there a while, too. Yeah, he took over for...
Hey, football fans. It's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Paterno?
I think so. I think it was your boy, B.O.B.
Bill O'Brien.
He was the head coach?
Yeah, he's the one that took over for Paterno, failed.
Wow. Wow. You don't say.
He failed. Franklin came over there from Vanderbilt and done a great job.
Damien first is Bill O'Brien. It's a forgotten storyline on this show. Like, you were going at him for about a year and a half.
He was horrible.
You'd be like, oh, yeah, anyways, something Bill O'Brien. Oh, screw that guy. What a jackass.
He was
What was
awful.
The thing that pissed you off most about? Was it his Texans time or like what?
His time went to Texas.
Yeah.
He was an absolute idiotic football coach. Mm. When they had
so there it is.
You know what?
Coming out again.
Idiotic football coach is hilarious.
Eddie Gonzalez joins us next, I think, here on Sacramento Sports Leader.
Well, ask him what he wants to do with the Raiders.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Next here on ESPN 1320. I'm not sure if Eddie's with us or not, but we'll get in on the phone line. You can 916-909-1320. Eddie just might be out there celebrating the new year.
He might be.
We did shoot him the link a little late. So
we did kind of have a weird schedule. So he probably just thinks we're off. And since we don't send text messages to confirm with everybody who's here weekly, we just kind of like, yeah, we hope they're here. Who knows?
Last time I talked to him, I let him know we was going to be here this Friday, but that was a week ago.
916-909-1320 if you want to get in here on the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. You most definitely can. Sacramento Kings are back on the floor tonight. Take on the Memphis Grizzlies. Grizzlies sit at the 2 spot of the West right now. We started the show with this a little bit. When you look at the Oklahoma City Thunder, of course, Devin Carter will make his debut for the Sacramento Kings tonight as well. But when you look at the Western Conference and you see also Hoop fans, I think we got Knicks and Thunder
Knicks
tonight.
Thunder, that's a good one. My Knicks have figured
straight,
it out.
That's 13 straight wins versus 9 straight wins.
Mm-hmm. My Knicks have figured it out.
Man.
They starting to cook. And this is a matchup of the two players of the week. SGA won it and Karl Anthony Towns won it.
Karl Anthony Towns has been playing fantastic.
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely fantastic.
Do we look at Cat any different because Jimmy pulling the stuff again? Because that situation has stuck with Cat for a long time. Unfairly, I thought.
No, because I always thought that was Jimmy.
Mm. Jimmy just doing that, just being Jimmy.
He's just, that's the way he is.
Like, Cat, too, has always been really good in the regular season.
Yeah. He did good the year they played Memphis.
He doesn't have a ton of postseason experience.
Yeah, he was up and down last year. The year they played Memphis, he was pretty good. He was pretty good that year. I think, are those the only two times he was in the play? Well, then he had the first year, the year with Jimmy, he was not that good.
Mm.
There's that.
Because it's kind of like Julius Randle. Julius Randle tore it up for the Knicks that one year, then kind of just stunk it up in the playoffs. Like, Cat, for it to be validated, I think, for the fair right or fair foul, is he's got to do it in the playoffs.
I think, and this may not be,
because that's why he's there too.
Yeah, this may not even be a question that you're asking either, but I think Cat is better than Julius Randle.
Oh yeah, he's a couple of tiers above probably.
Yeah, and I like Julius, but Cat, I'm a big believer in Cat.
I think you said he's a couple tiers ahead.
Yeah, Cat's really good. Julius Randle's good, but like Cat, if he reached his potential, could be one of the top players.
Well, he feels like he's.
What's he doing right now? Is he with like 22 and 14 or something like that? What's he doing? Let me see.
I don't know. Didn't he just have a 30-20 game in the last week? Like he's had a couple of kind of outrageous games where you're like, bro, what? He did 25-20? Like what? He's had a couple of those as a New York Knicks.
Man, Cat 24.9, 13.7 rebounds a night. Damn, 25-14 for Cat.
Springing our man Eddie Gonzalez here. Eddie, what's up, baby? Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year, fella. Sorry, I'm late.
No. I texted you last week. It's a crazy holiday schedule. I meant to text you earlier in the day and be like, "Yo, we're back in. If you got time to get in," and I didn't. So that was on me.
Yo, it'll take a good day too.
We was just talking about Cat, and obviously there's OKC in New York tonight. What do you think about Cat in New York so far? It seems to like really be clicking for him, especially recently.
I mean, I think he's finally playing the right position. Mm-hmm. You know, he gets to be that stretch five center, that true stretch five, and he gets all that spacing that's provided out there. And funny enough, he's paired with a guard in Josh Hart who can rebound like mm-hmm. him and who can kind of do a lot of the dirty work. It just makes more sense where he's at right now. And they tried the Twin Towers thing. Still trying it out there in Minnesota. But to fully utilize what Cat is, he needs that spacing. He needs that green light. And, yeah, their record is a little inflated from last month. They played some bad teams. They've had a streak against some bad teams. But he's out there getting it either way. They've been talking about him in Minnesota for years about being one of the best offensive talents in the league, and we're seeing that. And I think you've seen it a little bit before in Minnesota as well, and he just slots in better where he's at now. And fit can be everything. It can be that little 1%. Yeah. That's the team out there that scares me if I'm the Celtics. That's mm-hmm. the only one in the East that mm-hmm. makes me go, all right, like, we had to play that game. We had to play in that arena. Mm. We had to do all that. That's the team. And talking to some of them dudes, they want that smoke, but they know that they're no joke out there.
Hey, real quick, Casey, mm-hmm. could you just explain your hate for Cleveland before you
I mean, Cleveland the number one seed, best record in the NBA.
Cleveland looks legit to me. Maybe that's just me. Cleveland looks legit to me.
I was just talking the other day, like, I need to watch them closer because I've only watched a few games. I'm not going to make it like I've crunched everything that they're doing over there. But what I do know is that they're pairing their guys up when they sub them out. You're never going to see two of that big four, more than two of them on the bench. They got the pairings that they like with DG and I believe Jarrett. And then they got Evan and Donovan. I think that's the pairing. But they put that together and they've surrounded them with a ton of shooting. They always have shooting on the floor with them. They have made the Twin Towers thing work. Evan Mobley has improved. People are guarding him out to the three-point line, which makes all the difference now. And again, I want to watch them some more because when I ask around the league, I don't know if it's hate, I don't know if it's, you know, they on the floor or whatever, and they just saying whatever. But a little bit of eye rolls, a little bit of, 2012 Hawks energy. Oh, like, because I do think there is some truth to, like, if we just try harder than everybody, we can win a fair amount of games, you know, and then they have talent on top of that, obviously. But the regular season is the regular season. But yeah, it's just a little bit of eye roll from people. But at some point, you can't scoff at that record, and they're beating everybody. You know, they haven't, like, they're not beating up on the cellar dwellers.
The 2012 Hawks thing is unfair for the people who say that because the Hawks never had anyone as good as Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell he's one of them ones. And that's
I think the shot creation from Donovan and Garland as well, who I think is kind of like he can be over and underrated at the same time. Like, mm-hmm. I don't, the guy we talk about a lot on this show because we bring up De'Aaron Fox and we figure out his tier. I don't think he's in that tier, but he's tough to guard. He's got one of the better handles in the league. I'd say a top three, top five handle, which goes a long way. He can shoot. He's tough. So between the shot creation of those two, yeah, you can have the big fellas lumbering and rolling and catching lobs and doing the dirty work on top of that. And again, they surround him with shooters at all times. So it's a good setup, a good modern NBA team in that sense as well. And, you know, I think at some point you got to get them the respect.
You know, the East is getting a little interesting because I picked the Knicks to come out of the East at the beginning of the season. They're starting to look more like that team. I still look at Boston as those are the big dogs. But we mentioned Cleveland. Milwaukee's interesting. Milwaukee is interesting to me. They may not have enough to get it done, but they're interesting to me. I think Orlando, when they get those two back, I don't know if they can make a conference final run or nothing like that, but I think that's not a team that you want to play in a series. They are going to scratch and claw for seven games. They're tough. And then this probably ain't the best time to do it because they lost two in a row. But damn, Philly was kind of catching my attention with everybody there. And they may have had some schedule quirks as well that allowed them to win that 9-12. But when you talk about Maxey, PG, and Embiid with the things they have around them, that'd be a tough six seed, a tough seven seed that you'd have to face.
Is it?
I think so.
Give some love to the hometown team, man. We just saw the worst 6-minute stretch of Philly basketball in some time, thanks to the Sacramento Kings and all the smothering defense they played in that fourth quarter. I don't know. They might have dug the hole too deep. And when I look at that team, they're hobbled. Joel is not his fault that he's getting bumped and smacked and all this stuff. You know, I think he came back quick from injury last year. He played at the Olympics. Like, I don't doubt his toughness, but he might be too tough for his own good. And it just keeps lingering as something else and something else. I want to see them in the playoffs. Unfortunately for them, they're going to have to start winning some more games to make the playoffs. Wow. I looked at the standings yesterday after the Nets got another win. And I'm like, these dudes are anti-tanking and they're right behind each other. So, Philly dug a hole. It might have been too deep. They got a lot of season left, but they got to get to it soon, and they got to stay healthy to do it. So I think the Celtics are the cream of the crop. I know what the Cavs record is. I love the Orlando Magic and the way they've been able to stay afloat without their two stars. I think should have been all-stars, probably won't be now because they got hurt. Mm-hmm. But everything runs through Boston. Like, let's be serious. Mm-hmm. You watched them on a night like last night, and – they're down two starters, including an all-star, including their finals MVP. And the way Tatum is able to turn it on in that third and fourth quarter and just make it work, the way they're just able to consistently create open shots. I seen that Kenny Smith clip, and it was like, why did they do this? And it's a wide open three for a great shooter, Sam Hauser, and it's another good shot for who might be the sixth man of the year this year, in Peyton Pritchard. That's what they do, man. They create shots, and they run everywhere on defense. They work hard. You got Anthony Edwards sitting there yesterday talking about, oh, they guarded me too much. My man.
He did say that.
That's what they supposed to do. JT got trapped all night last night, too. And it's like, all right, we're going to split the double. We're going to dunk. Like, you know, that's what they supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know, Ant needs to look inward. He wasted a great Jalen McDaniels game, and he might not get another one of them for a couple weeks. So, you know, he missed the game winner, too. Look inward, young fella. I love Ant too, but I just thought that was a little. All right,
he won't stop double teaming me. Okay, all right, man.
Look, man.
He's speaking his mind.
And look, I know Kevin has publicly said, "Yo, what am I supposed to like?" He said some of the covers, and we've talked privately, and he's like complaining. I was like, "Yo, you're KD though. Like,
what do you want him to do?
Shoot! Like, what are you talking about?" So I feel the same way about Ant. And for him to say, "Oh, I'm 23, leave me alone." all right, my guy.
What do you think about? You think Oklahoma City could win a championship?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if they don't go get Cam Johnson.
Okay, settle down.
Just overpay.
Settle down.
Just get the last piece.
All right. We don't need to do that.
But I think when you watch Shea, that's a playoff performer. And he had a good run last year, but we're waiting for that super playoff run. But he's just unguardable. And they're doing this without a starter as well, as some people believe is their second best player. going back to kind of what we said about the Cavs and about a modern team, this is a modern team, and they finally got that size down low, and they finally got some toughness in that sense. I'm not exactly sure what you do with them, because even Shea himself has turned into a great defender. So it's like there's really no picking on them on defense either. Even maybe you put Isaiah Joe in and we kind of track him down, or maybe you go at Isaiah Hartenstein because he's big and he's a little slower. But that's a really well-coached team. They got the MVP, I think, right now at the top of that. And there's not very many answers other than outgunning them. And they did get outgunned last year. Like, it's not that it's impossible. And Kyrie had some great games against them. Luka, obviously. But it's not going to be easy for them. It's not going to be easy to beat those guys for four games in a week.
You talk about a team that could trade for a player who's not going to play for 4 to 6 weeks.
In a heartbeat.
OKC could do that right now.
They could give them the picks they have in the couch.
Mm-hmm.
And say, he's out 4 to 6 weeks. That was
no. That's what we've been guessing, because the way they were talking about him last night, all of the imaging was clear, but the way the beat reporters were talking about him leaving last night, it looked they said,
yeah, the fact that they x-rayed him scared me. I didn't even see, like, he got a dunk and they went up like 20, and I'm like, okay, this game's over. So I didn't even look back. But that little bit of shooting and size that they can add to that roster, and they have a ton of it already. I do worry a little bit about Jalen Williams as kind of the second ball handling option, and what that is, and if he can make that leap. I'm not the biggest fan, but Shea is that great. Like, you know, Shea can have a playoffs like Luka just had, and then we'll see them in June. Now, can they beat the Celtics? I don't know about that, but they can absolutely dominate the West, and they're my favorite two right now.
That's the concern. I shouldn't even really say concern, because he was a young guy. I think his first postseason. But Jalen Williams, he didn't look the same in the playoffs as he did in the regular season. And if he can grow from that, learn from that, and improve, which I think he will. Like I said, he was a young dude. His first taste of playoff basketball. And he wasn't horrible, but the production in the game went down when things got a little tighter. If he improves, I think sky's the limit. If he, for whatever reason, doesn't, that's gonna be tough, because SGA is gonna do what he does. But you need somebody on some of those nights when SGA is maybe getting double teamed or whatever to still have 28 or something like that. And we'll see if Jalen's able to do that.
Yeah, there was a tweet I had the other day that people, because it was LeBron, I was getting screamed at, but it was his 45-point game in Boston where, like, he seemed like he didn't miss. Mm-hmm. I said, this is what I want superstars to do before I call them superstars. Mm. And I think it kind of applies to Shea. Like, I'm kind of waiting for that, you know, iconic performance from him in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I think he can do it, though. Like, I'm sure he can do it. It definitely applies to somebody like Jalen, who, like, if he's going to be that next tier level of player, like, I want to see him do that in a high stakes, high tension game. And we'll see. We'll see if he can do it. I think he's got the talent to do it. He's just got to do it.
Hey, shift gears here for a few minutes. Your football team had the number one overall pick in the draft 2 weeks ago. Now they're at like eight.
31.
Yeah. Now they're drafting, man, in the second round.
I know you're supposed to have, like, some fans have this certain integrity. They're like, I don't want to see my I wanted them to lose the rest of the games. Like, I was furious that they won these games. And I remember looking back at the rest of their schedule, and I'm like, oh, they can win like two of these games. And they did. They won the ones I thought they would win, New Orleans and Jacksonville. I mean, it's frustrating. I get from their perspective, and I think football is probably the hardest sport to tank. And at the end of the day, it's not like they're putting this great roster out there to really put their best foot forward. They just played some even worse teams like really gutted it out. It's like Aiden O'Connell is not the absolute worst quarterback in the league. So when you see a couple of the worst quarterbacks in the league, you can fight with that fire a little bit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if anybody should be upset, it should be the Giants fans. It was just clearly laid out for them. I can't believe what happened. And not only did they win, they had like a dominant win.
Beat the hell out of them.
They had an incredible first half, and they held tough late. But, yeah, man, football is hard to tank. Here's my thing as a Raider fan, though. We have not had a franchise quarterback for as long as I've been alive.
Hmm.
We have had some good quarterbacks. We had Rich Gannon win the MVP, but he was a cast off. He was a backup. was a Kansas City Chief, if anything. We have never had the quarterback we draft and then we just have for 10 years. Like, and even the one we had, we came to hate him. And everybody has come to have their Derek Carr issues. Mm-hmm. So, like, I just wanted that. Like, I just want that one of these days. I look at my friend KD. He's got his franchise quarterback now, and he loves football. Like, it's just so fun for him. And I'm just like, I want that kind of joy in my life, man.
I hear you. I hear you. I do have a franchise quarterback. I don't care what people talk about.
You?
Oh, yeah. No, I do. I do. He's going to get paid. He's going to be franchised. He's going to be that. But let me ask you this, because this is kind of the discussion that we were having a little bit before. I said earlier in the season that AP needed to go. Part of that was because the Raiders were moving towards getting a top three pick at least. You got your quarterback. Shador, let's just say Shador, for example, you get him in here, and I want him with the new coach that is going to take them into the future. Not sure they're going to get the quarterback now. So with that being said, in like my scenario, do you think about bringing AP back? Because it's not going to be the symmetry, like, because you're not getting a quarterback. Although I saw a mock where they're talking about getting Ewers in the second round. That might be a good look too. But did AP kind of work his way back into the plans for next year with these last couple of weeks?
So I'll lead with positivity and say I think there's a ton of coaching continuity. And this is a franchise who has had, since Jack Del Rio, how many coaches? This is five. This is six. Mm. Who've hired two interims and it didn't go great. You know, who've done this multiple times. This is an owner who has done this multiple times, leaned on many different people to make this decision. And because of that, there's no stasis, there's no status quo in Las Vegas as far as that goes. And they've done with coordinators as well. For that alone, I'm like, man, maybe we got to hold and like see it through for a little bit. Mm. But on the other hand, they did not do a great job this season, like at the end of the day. And for him to be the dictator coach of sorts, he picked all the coordinators, he did all the stuff. And you can fight about whether he wanted Cliff and whatever. But they ended up with a coordinator who many people already thought was one of the worst coordinators in football, mm-hmm. bringing him from a terrible offense to come run another terrible offense. He picked quarterbacks. He went with Gardner Minshew from day one for multiple reasons, and it's pretty clear going forward that Aiden O'Connell, even though, again, he's not great, he's the better quarterback of the two. So there's just a lot of questionable decisions, a lot of game management decisions, a lot of just that type of stuff that's like, yo, these are fireable. Mm. But, yeah, you want some continuity and you want to not be a dysfunctional organization, so you're weighing that. But if there's a coach available, that's better. If Mike Vrabel wants to be there, if whomever wants to be there, like, you got to move on. And it's frustrating they're not going to have that quarterback now, but they got to figure it out and see what's next. They're not going to get my guy out in Minnesota no more either, so it's tough, man. It's tough. I'm really scared we're going to be watching Kirk Cousins in Las Vegas this year.
And oh, no, man. Oh, hell no. Damn.
The most Raider move ever would be to hit the very mediocre quarterback and say, we got it.
They did that last year with Gardner Minshew.
He's well below mediocre.
T. Higgins moves me, but T. Higgins and Kirk Cousins, I don't know.
Not so much.
I don't know. Let's get Tyreek too, man. Let's get spend some money on the receivers.
I love Mike Florio. He had an article today that was like, if the Cincinnati Bengals make the playoffs, T. Higgins shouldn't play. Like, that's the most Mike Florio article imaginable.
Jamar Chase too.
Yeah, they got to pay him coming up.
Yeah,
man. He already took the season where he's like, all right, I'll just play. He ain't gonna do that again.
Yeah.
Nah. It's. But I mean, I think the Raiders have, I think, the biggest cap space in the league next year. They have a lot of options. Again, I'm just very worried we're going to end up with a not great quarterback again, and then no promise of a young quarterback that we think could be the face of the franchise either. So Arch. I was all in on Shador. Like, I was all in.
Arch is on the way.
A couple years, man. He going to have his big Texas year next year.
Are y'all ready for James Butler? You got to be willing to take a pay cut. Go to the NFL. You got to be willing to take a pay cut.
Are we ready for what, Eddie?
For Jimmy Butler in Phoenix, you excited?
How's that gonna happen? Bradley,
it's got to be Brad, right?
I don't work for the front office.
Is that KD? Is KD at the house? Go.
That might be Jimmy, yo. Yeah. It's gonna be it's going to be an exciting trade deadline, though. I'll say that. Like, are y'all still – I seen the rant, Damien. I was watching on IG Live. Like, are you all in on that? Because I've heard some things.
I'm not – it's not it, – I'll repeat what I said yesterday. I don't want De'Aaron Fox to be traded, but I'm okay if you trade De'Aaron Fox. Like, if you think that makes the team better, if – all right, cool. Like, do it. I'm not into – like, one thing I won't – I don't think the Kings need to bend over backwards for him. If Rich wants him gone, if he wants to be gone, if he's unhappy about Mike's firing, whatever it may be, like, all right, cool. We'll try to find a home for you. That's how
There's
I feel.
There's a team in Texas that wants him really bad.
Which one?
There's a couple.
Because I think you're talking really about San Antonio, right?
Yes, and I think if you're the Kings, and I don't think this is, like, news, but there's multiple first-round picks coming your way if you decide to get rid of the
I'll trade five. Fox for Wimby. That's fine. You can twist my arm. Like, it's fine.
You'll have to add a little bit because the salary and all that, though, right, too. So
right, I need Wimby and Keldon Johnson. Right. Yeah, let's get them all.
Right. So the Spurs one seems to be very, very loud, and I think Sam kind of inadvertently is screaming that from a microphone right now, but it's definitely out there that the Spurs are really interested in De'Aaron Fox. And, like, good for De'Aaron. If that makes the Kings better, do it.
Yeah.
I love De'Aaron. We've talked about that a ton on here. I think he's a superstar-level talent. If you can get two, even three first-round picks for him right now, but if you're patient enough, if you're willing to be patient enough to see that out as well, because that means now we're rebuilding again. I think you take the three picks and you run. You do what you got to do. And if you can get some extra talent on the way back, even better. But three first-round picks in this climate, let's go.
This climate is inflation going on over here in the NBA. That's a shoot. Yo, okay. Okay. What if we – Kings trade for Cam Johnson with Kevin and however you want to work that. But trade De'Aaron for San Antonio. You still have De'Aaron here DeMar here. You still have Domas here. You still have Malik, and you still have Keegan. Now you have Cam Johnson, and you have whatever comes back from San Antonio.
Devin Vassell.
Is that team good enough to get to the playoffs?
Yeah. In this muddied up conference right now, where three teams look like they're on the verge of a blow up, and
they don't need to win 12 in a row, but they need to win like 8 of 11. They need to do what Philly just did.
Yeah.
You sound like me about the Suns.
Well, yeah, that's because the one team that's ahead of Sacramento out of the playoffs is Phoenix.
Yeah, I think if you trade De'Aaron, you got to begin anew from there. And maybe you decide Domas is where you begin, but if you trade De'Aaron, you say this season's a wash. We're looking forward to those picks. You try to get a talent out of that.
I don't love the
Lakers deal.
I'm not even taking
Rob's call.
What are we talking about?
The Rockets is the one, Eddie.
The Rockets is the one, and I got my eye on Jalen Green as part of it. Reed Shepherd as well. And here's the thing. If Jalen Green, if you want to hold out, I don't think Houston does anything till the summer. So that's why I don't think Fox is going anywhere. I'm not trading Fox until I talk to Houston.
Houston has had a plan for some time. They hired their coach a year and a half ago, and they completely altered what they're doing with their trajectory. Signed Fred VanVleet, signed Dylan Brooks. Clearly wanted to be an older, more mature team. We know that coach really well. We know what he likes out of his players. So when we watch his young players screw it up over and over again, and we know they're loaded with picks, they even made trades to get some of their picks back. They've been setting up to go star hunting for some time. Now, I heard a rumor it was one particular star who just isn't as tradable as he once was anymore. We talked about him earlier, too, in Philly. So it's not him anymore. Maybe it's the guy in Milwaukee. Maybe it's the guy in Sac. Maybe it's two people. But they have been loaded up for some time to go get a big fish and to sacrifice one of those young guys to do it. Seems like it would be Jalen if it's Sacramento because you already have, like, big Alfie, essentially. I don't hate that. That's the one I'd want to know about if I was the Kings. Like, I love Keldon Johnson. I love a bunch of those wings on San Antonio. But if my takeaway from giving away our franchise player for the last however many years is Jeremy Sochan, like, I can't sell that.
No, hell no.
I can't sell that, you know, on D'Lo and Casey in the afternoon, man. I can't. But if it's Jalen Green, who is semi-local, who is, you know, a star in his own right, that I can sell a little bit. So I'm very curious. I think if it gets worse, that's the way I heard it, is if it gets worse for the Kings, then yes. If not, obviously this summer is much more movable.
Okay. Eddie, we appreciate you, man. Thank you as always for –
Thank you, fellas. I like that sweater.
That's Motor One. I knew you'd like that. That's Motor One.
You see him cooking over there, man. You see him cooking.
You'd like that.
I knew exactly what that was. Yeah, I'm like, man, look, come on.
I knew you did.
You see him cooking over there.
We appreciate you, bro. Thank you, bro.
See y'all, fellas, man.
Yes, sir.
My dog.
That's a man, Eddie Gonzalez, right there. We'll come back. I want to stick with that for a minute. The De'Aaron San Antonio Houston stuff. Yeah. We'll talk about that. Kings, Grizzlies tonight, Golden 1 Center, Steelo and Casey here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Pretty sure James Hammond's joining us at the top of the hour.
Not sure, though.
I'm not sure. He had a meeting after the show, so I never really know what that means. James is kind of out on Fridays all of a sudden, so I don't know. James might be with us in a few minutes. He might not be. I don't know. We'll all find out together. It'll be a surprise to all of us. We were talking with our guy Eddie Gonzalez a few minutes ago, and you know, of course, Eddie pretty tapped in. He hears things. That was bad conversation guided by me. I'm gonna talk about the Raiders when we talk about basketball that way. Didn't even talk about Mike and everything that went on last week. That was I'm rusty after a couple of days off, man. Y'all gotta forgive me. Good, we'll get back in the group here. But we talked about two prime candidates in Texas.
Sorry, I didn't see this. We talking about the Dolphins. Jesse Notu is out?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, Snoop's quarterback. Yeah, he's still dealing with the hip.
That was breaking news to me. I didn't know that.
I assume Jesse knows.
Sorry about that.
But, man, the injury report still has Devin Carter out tonight. Says he's on G League assignment. Did they not read Shams' reporting? Or Sean's
James,
reporting?
James said he was recalled. Him and Orlando Robinson.
No, they're just being slow with the report. Yeah, because they got Orlando out, and Keegan's still listed as doubtful. Really, all I'm checking to see is Keegan.
Well, they're like our office. I guess nobody's in the Kings.
Well, that very well may be true. Maybe they were all fired on the phone, too.
Oh, damn.
We were talking about the two teams in Texas who might be most primed to land De'Aaron Fox should the Sacramento Kings or De'Aaron Fox and his team decide to go in that direction. Houston obviously being a very attractive option. San Antonio, according to Sam Amick of The Athletic, having a very loud interest in acquiring De'Aaron Fox. But I go back to because Eddie was like, if you trade De'Aaron, you just got to kind of accept you're punting on the season and starting over. And I don't think that that's true. I don't think you're punting on the season. Maybe you're not exactly sure what your immediate long-term direction is, especially if you're acquiring multiple first-round picks. But in the scenario I presented, and it required another trade, and that was acquiring Cam Johnson. But if you know, with the roster that this team has, if you're able to get, we'll just call them depth. Look, we could take Cam Johnson out of this. If you're just able to get depth pieces back from, we'll say, San Antonio. Or we could do Houston. It doesn't really matter. I think if you're getting something in return for him that's not just future assets, Domas, Malik, Keegan, they're all still here. DeMar, still here. I don't think this team is I don't think they're any worse. I do not think they're any worse than what they are now. And I don't think that that requires punting on the season or moving on from Domas or picking this group apart one by one. You have to figure out what you're doing long term. But I think it's enough to survive. I think it's enough to potentially get to the playoffs.